Greetings, Calvary and friends. This is Pastor Walton. I am praying for you, hoping that you and your family are well. Our scripture for today is from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. And the verses read as follows, "And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" May God add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of his holy word. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. From the subject, God's grace is sufficient, a perspective on waiting during the coronavirus. I'd like to begin this message with a short story some of you may remember. In 2006, just after the middle of the year, Sister Walton and I, already the parents of three young boys, found out that we were again expecting. We went through the normal emotions any couple would when you thought you were done having children, but guess what? You're not. And we didn't have a lot of money. We were paying private school tuitions because the public school situation had not worked for our family. It was a very anxious time. I was still relatively new at Calvary back then, and the church was still going through a great transition. Add to that, I was coping with my mother's death from cancer the year before and was in the second year of a doctoral program. It was a lot, and my wife was going through a lot as well. And one morning, unable to sleep, I wanted to pray, but I didn't just want to pray, to be honest. I wanted to vent and pray and vent some more. So I drove from our home to Bradford Beach. I still remember the car pointing toward Lake Michigan. It was still somewhat dark, and a few people were jogging and walking. It was about 5 o'clock a.m. I never got out of the car. I didn't intend to get out of the car. I just wanted to get out there and spend some time with God and tell God what was going on in my heart and in my mind. And I just remember sitting in my car exhaling and telling God something like this: "God, I love you and I know you are able. It's just that Lori and I are barely handling things right now, and now we have a new baby coming." Something like that. I had barely finished saying those words then when from my left side, I remember this just like it was yesterday, I had barely finished saying these things whenever I heard God say to me these words, "John, my grace is sufficient. I suggest you get happy." I've said that and I've told that story many, many times, but it's appropriate for this sermon today. Because God is sovereign over everyone and everything, and because he is also sovereign over the coronavirus, we need to know that God's grace is sufficient for us. Unfortunately, there are still people in our state of Wisconsin, in our country, who resist God's grace to their own detriment. Instead of taking the virus with deadly seriousness, some actually, albeit a few, some still crazily contend that it is all a made-up lie. Then others are not taking it seriously, even though healthcare workers, survivors of the virus, people who were on death's doorstep and who have come back from the virus, and a wealth of medical scientists, even though these people continue to speak out in support of social distancing and prevention, there are still some who are not taking this virus seriously, and then there are others who are using this virus for their own political purposes. On the day I am preaching this sermon, I read an article just hours ago entitled from the journal Sentinel, "We Are Scared for Our Lives, at least 17% of Wisconsin coronavirus cases are healthcare employees." That's the title of the article. "We Are Scared for Our Lives, at least 17% of Wisconsin coronavirus cases are healthcare employees." The article that I'm referencing features Dr. Abbas Ali, who went to Walmart and bought himself a 12 by 18 inch picture frame, not because he needed it for a photo, but for the plexiglass. According to the article, Dr. Ali removed the frame's edges and fashioned the acrylic into a face shield that would protect him from patients' coughs as he inserted ventilator tubes into their airways, unquote. And then I read another article earlier today, which is at the time of this sermon, only about 2 or 3 hours old, entitled, "Thousands Expected to Gather at State Capitol to Protest Restrictions, Risking Their Health." And I quote at length from this article. An excerpt reads thusly, and I quote, "Similar protests have popped up around the country, especially in states with Democratic governors like Wisconsin. In some ways, what's occurring resembles the birth of the Tea Party movement that galvanized conservatives during the first years of President Barack Obama's administration. And some of the same groups that were involved in that earlier effort are, for now, on the periphery of this one. Organizations like Tea Party Patriots and Freedom Works. But while the protest is drawing much interest, it's unclear how representative the sentiment is in Wisconsin. Two recent national polls showed a majority of Americans support restrictions in place by governors to limit the spread of the virus, which has killed 257 people in Wisconsin," unquote. Now, moving into the sermon. When the Apostle Paul gives this well-known testimony, many of us have heard many sermons on the thorn in the flesh. So when the Apostle Paul gives his well-known testimony and account of his thorn in the flesh, along with the response of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit, I believe that there are at least three good lessons we can learn, or at least we can reflect upon as we survey the state of Christendom, the state of Christianity in the world today in 2020, in the context of this pandemic, the emergence of the nuns, people claiming no religious affiliation at all, who need to be won to Christ by other Christians, and then also the political and legislative activities in our state, country, and our world. The first lesson is found in verse 7 of our text from 2 Corinthians 12, and here's what it says. And I quote, "Unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure." My sisters and brothers, God has a way, and only God can do this because he's God. God has a way of leveling the playing field. God can take very powerful people and place them at the mercy of people they thought were too good to talk to. This should be a wake-up call to everyone that Acts 10:34 is true. God is no respecter of persons. Money can help win elections, most assuredly. But money could not stop the scourge coronavirus has brought upon the world. It is not only for the rich, nor only the poor, but for everyone. Every day we wake up in quarantine, we come to the realization that if we didn't wake up, the earth would still keep going. Living this way helps us to read the 24th Psalm as more than just a call to worship, but to adopt it as a way of life. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. That's us. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Then verses 9 and 10, lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. And then the second lesson is found in verses 8 and 9a of this 12th chapter of 2 Corinthians. And here's what it says. Concerning this thing, and scripture does not reveal what this thorn was for the Apostle Paul. The Apostle says, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. My sisters and brothers, God does not always give us what we ask of him. Somebody who knows that's true just ought to just say amen. The Apostle Paul pleaded three times for the thorn to be removed, but he was not rewarded with the pleasure of his request. Let's be real. For many, they love quarantine. I can say for my own self that quarantine has been helpful and has helped our family in many, many ways. For others, they hate it. They can't wait till it's over. And one person I talked to, they were a little sassy with it. They said they don't mind quarantine because they like their husband. They like who they're at home with. Now stop it. I want you to right now, I want y'all to listen, who are listening, stop that blushing. But that is the truth straight up. Many people hate quarantine because there's a whole lot of truth that has come out in some households in these past 40 days. But God's grace is sufficient for that too. God is our Father. We are his children. His will is for us to grow up into Christ. Ephesians 4 says that we need to be equipped. And guess what? Coronavirus is a tool that God is using to equip us if we permit him to equip us. Some like it, some don't. But in the midst of it all, whether we like quarantining or not, God's grace is there. If you're happy, rejoice in God's grace. If you're upset, reach out and catch hold to God's grace to lead you through. God is available to you regardless of how you feel. His grace is available, and I want to let you know that no matter what you're going through in this quarantine time, in this coronavirus time, that our God is loving. I want to encourage you. He is a patient God. He is a faithful God, and his grace is sufficient. Cry out to him. Call out to him. Talk to him. Share with him. And then the third lesson is found in verses 9b and 10. And here is what it says. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Say amen if you're not there yet. This virus, this social distancing, this over a month long quarantining will be over pretty soon, I think. I may be wrong, but I think that it's going to be shorter than it has been. And if you haven't already, start asking God how He wants you to be different after this. It would certainly be a shame for a person to spend all of this time at home and get no closer to the Lord than they were when this started. When I look at these words in the text, I do realize that I really need God so much. The older I get, and the more I experience walking with Christ, the more I understand how weak I am and how strong He is. The only way that Paul could write this is by being a disciple of Jesus Christ. And my friends, we are living in a time where George Barna, the researcher, said that there are more people now who are worshiping Satan than they are that are worshiping God. And that's a shame. And I want to let you know, and I said, and I continue to say it, that the church is on stage. This is an opportunity for us, even as we're in this quarantine, and even whenever we go back and people are still reflecting upon this, and people are going to be more open to hearing about God, hearing about Jesus. Our message needs to be, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Our message needs to be salvation. Our message needs to be not about ourselves, about how great we are, about how great our faith is, and all of that. Our message needs to be about people being saved, sharing Christ so that people can be saved. It is about justification. It is about regeneration. It is about sanctification. And it's been some weeks, and so let me give you a review right quick in this message. Justification is the fact that Jesus Christ died for us on the cross even before we were born. He had already paid the price for us. He had already died on the cross. Regeneration is our taking advantage of our justification that is available to us. The fact that Jesus died on the cross is up to us to do something about that. And that's regeneration. That's the scripture that I just quoted from John 3:16, is to receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And then we move on to that sanctification. And that sanctification is following after Jesus, being a disciple of Jesus Christ. The first two things are justification happened before we were born. Regeneration happens in a moment of time whenever we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior and we're saved and the Holy Spirit comes to live on the inside of us. And then sanctification is for the rest of our lives. It is living that life. And I tell you, my sister and brother, that is the reason that the Apostle Paul could say what he was able to say, because he was in that process of sanctification, following Jesus Christ, living in the way of Christ. He was not perfect. The only one perfect has been Jesus Christ. But the Apostle Paul was a disciple of Jesus Christ. And that's what we need to be. We need to be disciples. People listen to us, yes, but they watch us more than anything. They watch our life. They observe our life. The Bible said, let your light so shine so that men will see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And so the only way that Paul could write this is by being a disciple of Christ, resting in Him more and more every day. And before this is over and people start coming back out, I hope that you spend some time laying out before God or kneeling before Him or sitting before Him and sharing with Him everything that you need to tell Him in faith before the world starts up again and you have to schedule. Right now, you don't even have to schedule. You can pray pretty much whenever you want to, but there's going to come a time soon where you're going to have to schedule your prayer time again and guard it, etc. Why not take this time and prepare yourself for post-coronavirus right now? And in these verses, we find that he may not give us, and that's sanctification too, he may not give us all that we want, but his grace is sufficient. He will be with us always. I want you to know that even now, God's grace is still sufficient for you. I want you to rest. You can do it or not do it, but my advice is that you rest and recharge. You read and pray. Reconcile and reconnect with friends and family. Ask forgiveness of somebody you've offended. Apologize for somebody you've hurt. Ask God to redeem the time for your family. Ask him to redeem the time in your life. Spend time rebuilding your family. Spend time rebuilding your relationship. If you live alone, if you're a widower or divorcee, and it's just you living in your house or your apartment or your townhouse or your condo, spend time just you and God. That's a family, and give God the praise because he is worthy. Is there somebody listening who has learned to depend on God? Is there somebody out there on your cell phone or your computer who can say that when they stopped trying to figure it all out, they saw that God had already worked it out? Is there somebody who knows that you can't hurry God, you just have to wait? Well, some are waiting, but they're waiting not on him. They're waiting in anger. They're waiting in political divisiveness. They're waiting in anger and partisanship. When this has affected the whole world, how small their thinking is, trying to enact vengeance. Romans 12 and 19 says, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Everything done in confusion and hatred will unravel. What is conceived in sin brings forth the fruit of that sin. There is a better way." And that better way is outlined for us in Psalm 27 and 14. David, a man after God's own heart, and I'm done now, has a message for us. Even in this period of coronavirus, David says, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." May God bless you. And may heaven smile upon you. God's grace is sufficient. A perspective on waiting during the coronavirus. Amen.